Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us again, and welcome back to another episode of Artist Interviews here at WJMS Radio. I'm your host, Harris Jagenjack, also known as Pronto Valid, and today we have a new artist with us. He's a Chicago Music Award nominee, Dantes Alexander. Dantes, welcome to the show. It's your first time here with WJMS Radio, and I'd like to start off by asking you to describe yourself as an artist and a musician and kind of just give us an outlook into who you are.
Oh, well, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. It's great. This is only my second Chicago show. So I get a lot of spins and a lot of play from overseas. So this is always great. So thank you. So I guess me as an artist, I don't know. It's hard to describe, right? When you like music, you're a student of music, right? I just happen to find myself in the electronic realm. Yeah, but it's hard because I found myself in electronic realm. So, but I love pretty much any and everybody great that you can think of, from like the Rolling Stones, a lot of strange influences, I suppose, for people who would look at me and be like, well, what the hell is this kid know about, you know, the Rolling Stones and stuff like that, you know? So like the Rolling Stones, I mean, I listen to a lot of music from yesteryear. I'm kind of an antiquated soul in a young body. So okay. A lot of my inspiration comes from, you know, that time period. And a lot of people always think it's fresh and cool, but I guess what makes it fresh and cool is that a lot of people don't really study music and don't know where all of these so-called cool original ideas come from. Everything's reinvented, you know, so.
Yeah. All righty. Awesome. Well, thank you for giving us that introduction to yourself as an artist. And definitely you hit on a lot of points that I was going to ask you about, especially with the influences. You mentioned that you're an antiquated soul in a young person's body. And I resonate with that. And I'm sure that a lot of people do, especially artists who, you know, pay attention to, as you said, you know, the hits of yesteryear and kind of look to the past for inspiration. And I wanted to ask you actually, before we dive into everything with music and with all the songs that you've dropped, I did a little bit of research and I wanted to ask you a little bit about your career as a model and also your career in acting, because that is a few things that I've noticed here about you. So why don't you go ahead and describe what that was like? What was it like modeling, and also describe a little bit about your acting career and the appearances that you've made in shows?
Well, the modeling thing, you hear me laughing over here, right?
Yeah, I can hear you.
I'm laughing because, you know, out of all of the professions that there are in the entertainment business, in my opinion, that one has got to be the most difficult because there's not really a whole lot of room for professional growth, and we'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
I worked for a lot of really like hip, you know, Chicago brands. So I did a lot of work for Izu Apparel, which is not in business any longer. Mm-hmm. And then I also did some work with Elwin out of Chicago. I'm not sure if you guys know him, but Jeffrey, who just passed away not too long ago. He does menswear and stuff like that. So yeah, so that's the acting stuff. And then I tried to start segueing into other things, right? Because we start to get bored with things, right? I talked about not being able to grow.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'm just, you know, itching. I'm like, I got to do something else. So I started to segue into acting, and I started doing some background work on, probably every Chicago show that you could think of that was big at the time and up till like 2 to 3 years ago. So. Yeah. You know, Empire obviously being like, you know, the biggest one. Probably everybody at Columbia has probably had a spot, yeah. You know, on you know what I mean. So it's Chicago, background stuff, you know, then and there. And then, you know, gradually I worked my way up to Work in Progress, which is also another Showtime, produced show. Started, you know, just like everyone else, you know, it was non-union and got bumped up to being featured, so, which was pretty cool. And now here we are. I turned that little aha moment into a pretty full-fledged kick-ass career. So I'm pretty happy with that, because music's always been who I am. I just feel like all of the other things were unfortunate circumstances that I had to go through in order to make it to here at this point.
Wow. Yeah, no, and it definitely sounds like quite a bit to go through. I mean, especially like, you know, just modeling, obviously it can be a very harsh industry because there's very clear cut standards that are kind of hard to deviate from.
It was a very hard lesson for me to learn, you know, yeah. Because you're like, man, damn, I know I look good. My abs look way better than that dude's abs, but you know what? It's all good. I get it. You know, yeah. So this ain't for me. I'll just keep it moving, you know?
Yep. Yep, I hear you. Talk a little bit about your experience on Work in Progress. What was that like, you know, just having like a gig, an acting gig, so to speak, that was kind of not in the background anymore, featured you more so on screen?
You hear me laughing over here. I'm laughing because, okay, so for anyone who does not subscribe to like pop culture, Work in Progress is actually directed by one of the Wachowski sisters of... Mm-hmm. Formerly the Wachowski brothers. They both transitioned to be gorgeous women. Anywho, I did not know that prior to getting involved in the project. So imagine just, you come in, you sign your waiver. You sign your waiver, you know, and you walk over to, you know, your non-union table and you get your food and you sit down and you pull your backpack out or whatever. And so anyway, long story short, I ended up, you know, getting bumped up, and I had walked into the room and I looked, trying not to be like flabbergasted or starstruck. But I'm like, wow, this woman looks really, really familiar. Really, really tall woman, like six even, like, you know, really tall, you know, like there's something going on here. I know this person, right? I'm like, no, wait. That is, you know, one of the Wachowski sisters. So it was actually really, really cool. It was a really, really great experience to work with literally all of these people are from Chicago. Chicago is such a talented place. Both of the Wachowski sisters, you know, are from Chicago. Abby McCaney, who's the, you know, one of the stars, you know, lead stars of the show, is from Chicago. Everybody, you know, Julia. You know, Saturday Night Live fame, you know, everybody's from Chicago. So it was a really great experience. It really taught me that whatever it is that you do in the entertainment business, none or less, it correlates to a normal job. So it was a really fun experience for me. You know, all of those people were, you know, no different than, you know, the people that you would encounter just doing your normal daily job at any normal place. That was refreshing for me, and that was kind of eye-opening. And I think that's something that's only really unique to Chicago, being honest.
Yeah, I hear you. I agree with that 100% too. And I actually wanted to talk to you a little bit about your work from transitioning from acting to music and taking music a lot more seriously. You know, obviously we know that you trained as a voice major in college at Southern Illinois University. Talk a little bit about, you know, how long you've been recording for, and when did you really start taking your career as a musician a lot more seriously?
Well, you know what, I just turned 28. So, you know, a lot of things happen, you know, in the earlier parts of our lives. You know, once we finish school, you bump around and you try and figure out, you know, where you fit in the world. And sometimes you end up in some great relationships or some bad relationships, vice versa, what have you. Yeah. So, you know, I did some stumbling around, I guess. I kind of did the hippie floating routine where you just kind of flop from, you know, couch to couch and, you know, just in search of something, not knowing what it is, you know, that emptiness that we all feel inside.
Starving artist.
Yeah. It's a really fun period. It really is. By the grace of God, now I'm kind of in an intermediate place now. I'm famous and but with no money, and, you know, and doing big projects with no money, but it's still cool. I'm very grateful for that. But anyway, back to what we were talking about. But I stumbled around a lot, man. And I just could not for the life of me figure out, you know, if that was what I wanted to do. You know, I spent so much time, you know, training and trying to perfect, you know, my craft. But when I got out, like everybody else, you find yourself scratching, like, wait a minute, I didn't go to school to be stuck here and do this. What the fuck? Oh, yeah. Can I curse on this show? Sorry.
That's okay. I'll cut it out. Don't worry.
You know, I woke up and I'm like, no, you know what? I gotta do this. I have to do this because we are now in a space where I can now, if I'm good, you know, which is why you practice, if I'm good, you know, that I can do it and I can do it on my own terms, you know? And yeah. when I knew that I had the key to my own success, meaning not being afraid to invest in myself, which is something that a lot of young musicians are, they are afraid to spend the money on themselves. Hey, when you guys got, you got your own project, hey, guess who's the marketing? Guess who's the art? Guess who's the design? That's all you. So 100%. If your project tanks or if your project sucks, that's because you didn't invest in yourself. So that's when everything really clicked for me. I'm like, you know what? Hell, like again, with the modeling stuff, you know, I'm like, I sound better than these guys. This is my competition. Oh man, game's on, you know. I sat down, you know, again, you know, being a student of music, you know, I had such a wide, you know, bucket of influences, and I kind of had to, you know, narrow it down to, you know, one field that I felt like I could be proficient in. And then some of my other, you know, fields that I'm proficient in, I just expand out in to production. Also, FYI, I'm going to throw this out there. I'm doing some production for a very iconic dance act. I'll give you more information on that as that becomes available. But I think when everything comes out, I think Chicago will be quite proud and quite pleased.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I wish I could start. I'm ready to start blabbing about it now. But the part of the problem about doing all of this is learning how to exercise restraint. You know, because when you come out of that amateur world and go into the professional world, you have to exercise restraint. And that's been kind of an ongoing challenge for me. Yeah. So.
I definitely agree with you on that. You kind of realize that as a musician. I'm a musician myself, and you know,
I can tell.
One thing that you notice early on is it's very hard to resist that urge of just, you know, pushing it out to the world and thinking that, you know, as soon as I drop it out there, like word of mouth will do its job and everything will spread. So you bring up very good points, and I definitely agree with everything that you're saying, especially about, you know, just being a musician from a professional level instead of just very amateurish and kind of just taking it, you know, one song at a time and releasing a song, you know, damn near every single day. I mean, I know a lot of people that do stuff like that and think that that's the way to success. And I feel like one way of that is one way that you could get to it. I don't feel like everyone has like necessarily the exact formula to success.
There and is no successful. Formula. So yeah, for some people, right, like Tekashi, it's the, I'm going to be crazy and like, you know, show just no remorse for my skin and my hair, you know, then that's totally cool. Cause that works for him, but it's all about, like you said, you know, finding that lane that works for you, you know?
Exactly. Which is another thing that I actually wanted to ask you about here is actually talking a little bit more about the music. I wanted to ask you a little bit about your creative process. What is it like for you when you're recording a song, when you're, you know, just in the studio, when you have a concept? Does it just pop into your head? Does it come to you? Is it something that you have to really work hard for to get to? Describe that a little bit for us.
Wow, everybody always asks me about my creative process. You know what, man? It's interesting because I hate to sound corny and generic, but it comes from air and it comes from, you know, the universe, or some people would refer to it as God. Sometimes you just have to be still enough to listen. You know, some of us now, because we've been in this so long, we'll carry around a pad of paper, or that note app on our phone becomes our best friend, you know? but, you know, it just comes, you know, for me, like with my new project that just came out, like it was, you know, this new project is basically the old project that was pushed back due to COVID. And I had to take some time to reassess and, you know, restructure and repackage and all of that stuff. So the creative process, it comes and goes. I feel like you definitely have to be in the zone. I don't know if any of our listeners, I'm sure they have seen Soul. Literally, it is like that movie. It's like being in the zone. And like when you connect to that zone, you know, you're able to find influences and things that you ordinarily might not be willing to take a look at. You know, it's almost like that old fashioned term, like crate digging, you know, now it's playlist setting, but you know,
exactly,
you know, that crate digging, like that is, you know, it's almost like playlist setting. Like you have to be willing to, you know, go out there and just, you know,
Yeah, I hear you. You have to be willing to go out there and just take a risk, essentially.
I'm a risk taker for sure.
And, I feel like I kind of see that in your style. Cause I was looking at the, I was watching the TikTok music video and it had like a very trippy, like colorful style to it. Did you personally edit that video or did you have somebody shoot and edit that for you? Talk a little bit about that video. Cause that, it was really interesting to me.
Well, so two things actually happened with that video. So that whole video was actually shot out of sequence, which is actually turned out good, which is why it looked so trippy like that.
Yeah, it was very good though. I liked it. It kept my attention, that's for sure.
Which is why it was so trippy like that. So we shot the dance sequence maybe like a week and a half to 2 weeks before we actually shot the rest of those scenes in a warehouse here in Chicago. It almost ended up being a disaster because the videographer, she had to go to Thailand. And I'm like, girl, this video got to come out. What are you talking about? You going to Thailand? Like, no, I'm about to learn some new skills today. Seriously. And, so I took all of my dance footage and, you know, all of the footage that, you know, we shot in at the warehouse here. We actually shot that a lot of those scenes, the dark trippy scenes in Bucktown. So, but that video actually took me like, I'm not going to lie, it took me like 24 hours straight to edit. That's why I got co-credit on that. Very proud of that. Because it was born out of accident. So, it was a great experience. I enjoyed shooting it. You know, being able to have my vision, you know, kind of played out in front of me. One thing I did want to do with that video though was try and force like a very like trippy, like alternate narrative. Because you couldn't tell, you know, who was the main character and if the girls were into girls or if the boys were into boys. It was just a, you know, a good kick-ass club party, right?
Yeah.
You know, and that was the idea. TikTok, the beat don't stop. You know, we're all having fun. Let's hang out, you know.
Yeah. And that's actually one thing that I wanted to further ask you about is, you know, where the inspiration came from the song. So obviously, it seems like the video itself is really about freedom and, you know, like you're mentioning, you don't really know who the main character is, what they're into, what they're doing, but it's all just about fun and freedom and having a good time. Is that really what the song itself is about? And if so, where did you get the inspiration for that record?
Well, I think the narrative for me personally when I wrote TikTok was actually about I'm getting kind of deep here. It's actually about, for me, it was actually about time running out. Wow. You know, TikTok, the beat don't stop. We're all having so much fun that we're not paying attention to the clock. That's deep. But, you know, in order for me to get that narrative out to people, I had to put it over, a slick pop production and, you know, so for me, it was a sort of a personal narrative. Repetition is key for me. When it, you know, for learning and things like that. So I wanted to keep it simple, just to kind of drive that narrative of a clock. Like if you think back old school to like Gwen Stefani's, What You Waiting For? Tick tock, tick tock, tick tock. So that's where the inspiration actually came from for that.
Okay.
Some people will think that it actually came from TikTok, the app, but that just was some clever coincidental marketing, but
yeah, it fits. It works really nice in today's day and age. I was gonna say it could also came from Kesha. She has a song called TikTok too.
I like Kesha too. So you know, but I'm gonna go with the Gwen version. It's a little more edgier.
Yeah, I hear you. That's very interesting. And I kind of wanted to segue into another song that I listened to from you. It's called Killer. And I was watching the music video for that. First thing I noticed right away instantly, it's anime, and it's Full Metal Alchemist. I think it's either from the original or from Brotherhood. I'm not sure, but I'm an anime head myself. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to ask you, are you into anime, or is that just, you know, was that something that somebody threw together for you? You just put it together because...
Oh, man, I am about to blow your mind on this interview. I am so into anime and games and everything. I have a game that's actually coming out based around my EP and my life. So, but I'll talk about that with you, I guess, in a little while. But yeah, totally, dude, of course.
That's really awesome. Yeah, I just enjoyed it. I like watching the anime music videos. It's something that I grew up on, and a lot of people, I feel like, from my generation, I'm a 98 baby, so, you know, not necessarily like a 90s kid, but, you know, like on the edge. So
it's all good, man. I'm 28, so we're sort of like neck and neck, dude.
Yeah, I'm 20. I just turned 23 in February. I just turned 23. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, it's definitely something that I'm super into. It's just that's where how I was introduced to a lot of music and actually got a lot of my influences. All those Naruto music videos that they had. So
yeah, me too, definitely.
Yeah, I hear you on that. Talk about the song itself, Killer, though, and where did you get the inspiration from that? Because about a minute and 30 seconds into it, you start feeling like a really late 70s and 80s vibe to it. Is that like really the area where you got the inspiration for that record from?
Well, to be completely honest, I can't take all of the credit for that record. So that record was actually written by Thiel and Adamski. Which obviously there's nothing to be said for Seal. Adamski, I might be introducing a couple of our listeners to him for the first time, a pioneer in that scene at that time. But also, more popularly, George Michael. So I have a great affinity for both of those guys. So depending on whose interpretation you listen to comes the meaning. And for me, you know, with Seal's original cover, when I cut that record in 2018, we applied to get the licenses and covers and paid our fees. And thankfully, you know, everything, you know, went groovy with that. But I think that the message behind it in 89 and the message in it, you know, in 2020 and 2021 is, you know, isolation, freedom, racial harmony. And being able to live in a space and time where you're not afraid to enjoy the things that are promised to you because of your birth. So that's kind of what that song's about. And last year we did a remix to it because of all of the stuff that took place with, all of the riots and, you know, all of the Black Lives Matter protesting and stuff. So we just felt like it was time to go in there and rip it up and do something new to it. So we talked about Breonna Taylor and George Floyd. And so, yeah, so that's pretty much what that song is about. Literally, that's what that song's about. So I wanted to keep a dark, mysterious, kind of breathy vocal on it to kind of give a sense of fear and, you know, and anxiety and post-traumatic stress, you know, stuff that people, you know, typically deal with when you live in like a really urban environment. So, yeah.
Yeah. Wow. That's first of all, you know, there's a lot of stuff to unpack there, but I didn't even know that was the cover of a song. Honestly, I thought it was an original song that you made. That's really interesting. I don't know. I think it's cool that you can put it together or package it in a way that it's, you know, somebody like me at my age can consume that and enjoy it, but not necessarily like know for sure, like, okay, is that a song from the 80s or is that something that he made himself today? So I think that's pretty cool, that just the way that it was put together. And then I also think it's very cool that you touch on the social justice aspect of it and just how it relates from back then to today. Talk a little bit about that and talk about the impact that that song had on the community of listeners around you and, you know, what it did for you and what it did for them.
You know, I think a lot of people, you know, who do reach out to me, if they do reach out to me about Killer, I think one of the favorite things to them about that song is basically the pleading, you know, solitary brother, you know, like, I think everybody's been to that space where they feel like they may not come back from, you know, and that space manifests itself in different forms. For some people, it could be cutting. For some people, it could be, you know, anorexia, you know, a lot of different things. And, you know, I just wanted to be able to emote that. And just, I'm just happy that people enjoy that.
Yeah, I hear you. And I definitely enjoy that a lot, too. I enjoyed listening to the song. I kind of want to segue into talking a little bit about just the things that you've done as an artist. And, you know, is there any advice that you have for any upcomers, you know, on tips that you might have for either being more professional or portraying themselves in a better way?
Well, let's see. Oh, well, we didn't talk about So Below. So So Below, that was certified platinum. I want to say a few months ago, I got a plaque in the mail for that.
Wow. Congratulations.
Thank you, on Spotify. So pretty cool. But I think the easiest thing that I can tell people, and I always say this, and it might come across as cheesy, but always water and plant your seed eloquently so that it can grow. A lot of people, you know, a lot of people forget, you know, how long it took for all of the trees to grow to get to that size. You don't just plop, you know, you don't plop that seed in the ground overnight and those big roots aren't just gonna, you know, it doesn't work like that, you know. And I think we are in, you know, in this place where we all feel like we are entitled to results immediately. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And not understanding that patience is key. You know, that term paying your dues is a really real thing. And I've certainly learned that. You know, I've to share with our listeners, you know, I'm, you know, working with a dance act, you know, and I was told that a replacement in this group was complaining about, you know, flying, you know, coach, when they have only been in literally the business, you know, a few years. You know, you have to pay your dues. So you can't complain about things, you know, in the beginning. You know, you have to do the starving artist thing. It's very important, you know. But the most important thing, really, truthfully, is just planting the seeds and being willing to commit and invest in yourself and the training that is necessary to present yourself, you know, in front of the world. You know, everybody's skill set is completely different. Some people may not be able to speak well. You know, some people may, you know, only sing well and not be able to do business or not be able to speak well. So, you know, there's a variety of things, but, you know, we now live in a space and time where all of these things are more readily available than ever.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I hear you. You definitely bring up a great point there. What's it like just having the track go platinum, you know, obviously, and just watching the progression from yourself as a amateur artist, probably not getting way too much traction or not too much notice, to now, you know, your career is starting to hustle and bustle and blossom into something bigger than you probably imagined it would have been.
You know what? It's always just shocking and humbling to me. I am a very humble person. You know, last week I was talking to my boyfriend and a few of my other employees that work with me, you know, my company, you know, that I don't have anything in my house to remind myself of how great I am. But I think that that's what allows me to remain grounded. You know, I still live in the hood, you know. Just yesterday, you know, I don't know how, but someone, you know, again, I was just, you know, we were talking about, you know, me, you know, getting a lot of spins and press and things from, you know, overseas and stuff like that. So it's yeah. always, it's a little scary sometimes when you, you know, you bump, you know, people in the streets and they're like, oh, so below, congratulations.
Yeah.
Nominee, haha, we're all proud. You know, and this was at the gas station and I'm like, who told you that? Who told you that? What are you talking about? You know, be quiet, you know?
Yeah.
But you know, it's an interesting thing. It really is. It's fun to be famous. But it's a lot of work. Yeah. No one tells you about all of the work that goes into it. I'm always exhausted. But I'm very, very thankful. You know, I'm very, very thankful because I honestly, you know, the pandemic has been a blessing. And to, again, to all of our listeners, I want to encourage you to not be afraid to invest in yourself. Yeah. You know, the pandemic provided numerous opportunities for all creatives to truly invest in themselves and possibly have a safety net. And by safety net, everyone knows what I mean by safety net. There are so many programs that were available for you to take care of your rent, housing, and student loans and all of that stuff. Yep. So you were supposed to take advantage of that. And if you didn't,
stimulus checks.
Absolutely. And if you guys didn't take advantage of that, then it's too late because the world's getting ready to open back up. You know, I'm telling you. So you know, this is what the lesson for me has been. And I hope that our listeners, you know, take from, you know, my experience and your experience and all of the other great guests that we have, investing in self is key, because if you don't believe in yourself, there's always going to be people that don't believe in you or don't like you. And, you know, but you're not supposed to just crumble up and fold. That's not how this goes. You know, you have to continue to invest in yourself. And then when you believe, it's almost like the Matrix. Everyone remembers that old movie. Remember when she tells him there's a difference between knowing the path and walking the path? That's so true. That's so true. That's so true. And I want to leave everybody with that.
Yeah. No, I hear you. Thank you for definitely sharing that with us. I think it's truly applicable to today's day and age too. Last couple of things here, just to kind of wrap up the show. We're coming here close to the end. I wanted to ask you if there's any new projects that you're working on that you want to put out there and let the public know about, let our listeners know about. And also, where can we find your music and where can we follow you?
Oh, great. So, so June 4th, the new Jack City EP will be coming out. It's, well, like it sounds, it's New Jack City. Where is New Jack City? What is New Jack City? New Jack City is Chicago, right? Yep. Of course, it's Chicago. So it's a story about my life and the story of struggle and the struggle that everyone who lives in these types of environments deal with. So, you know, the project talks about gun violence. Literally, you know, the whole project is about Chicago. So there's a lot of beauty, a lot of grit, everything that makes Chicago function, you know, from a urban perspective is on this project. But I'm most excited about the 16-bit mobile game, the New Jack City mobile game. So Dantes's New Jack City mobile game, that'll be coming out June 5th to coincide with the New Jack City EP. So I'm very excited about that. So I am very excited to be creating this world and this narrative around me, and my music, because I feel like it's a common world that, you know, so many, you know, young Black men, you know, Hispanic guys, you know, travel through, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Pretty much anybody who, you know, lives in the city, pretty much any student who walks with a book bag or has a hood knows exactly what I'm talking about. You know, this is what this project, you know, is about for me. It's a project of redemption, for me anyway. And the game is really, really for me, the focal point, you know, of this whole project. You know, we've already started developing it. I've already seen some really cool, you know, development photos. So I'm excited, man. I'm really excited. Wow. So it's going to be premiering first, you know, for the first month, you know, on, you know, my website, and then it'll go to the App Store and Google Play Games. So, but if all of our listeners do want to find me, you guys can go to Spotify and search Dantes. That's D-A-N-T-E. That's with the little slash hyphen above my E. Yep. S. So Dantes. Or you guys can search on Google for Dantes Alexander, or you guys can go to DantesAlexander.com.
Wow. Wow, man. That was
a mouthful.
It was a mouthful, but very, very awesome. I'm excited for the game. You got me hyped for it. So I'm going to be making sure to check out your website. I'm going to go ahead and follow you on Instagram so we can go ahead and stay up to date with that too.
Yeah.
Yeah. But thank you so much for popping by today, for coming on the show. And I really appreciate everything and the conversation that we've had today.
Thank you so much. It's been great. I really, really have had fun.